I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap, screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take for November 23rd, 2025. I'm your host, Blois Olson. And another week of more rhetoric ramped up, but also signs of more challenge and turmoil in our economy, in our systems, and including Washington, which got back to work after the government shutdown. And just what did that shutdown mean? What are the issues and how are we thinking about them? Representative Brad Finstad will be my guest for an extended deep dive interview after the break. But I also want to acknowledge that it's Thanksgiving week. We should be thankful that we've gotten to have health and to all those folks struggling in this economy. Hopefully you have a good week. I know I'll be grateful that kids are coming home. We get a little downtime, rest up for the final push here before the end of the year and into next year, which 2026 will be an epic year in Minnesota politics. It will require patience, a certain amount of training for me, and a certain amount of calm from all the voters, because I have no doubt that chaos, rhetoric, ranting on both sides will go higher. I also want to acknowledge that on Friday, President Trump tweeted out that he was immediately revoking temporary status for Somali immigrants. Well, the whatever that means, just because it's a post on social media, I just want to be clear, this is one of those places where a post creates a picture. That picture might not be completely accurate. Most Somalis who have immigrated have become citizens. So I don't think this is going to have some sort of impact that I think the danger of fueling it would have. I also think the ramp up of, rhetoric around civility deserves to be noted. And it was fun and fulfilling to see Mary LaHammer do a piece on the Jim Ramstad new center for civility and youth leadership. I think it's our kids that need to learn how to lead civilly. And as a generation that sees it in social so much, that if they can learn to lead in a civil way at a younger age, hopefully that's a good sign for our state and our country. And a shout out to my business partner, Paul Anderson, for his role in setting that up so that we have it and that we can continue to point kids towards it. When we come back, Congressman Brad Finstad, what did the shutdown really accomplish? What needs to get done in Congress? And what do immigration and agriculture have to do to find a place of balance rather than yelling and screaming? I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
WCCO. My guest this week on Sunday Take is Congressman Brad Finstad. It's been a time for Congress over these last several weeks, and going into a Thanksgiving break, the chaos doesn't seem to be stopping. But I've known Congressman Finstad long enough that he kind of keeps the eye on the horizon and doesn't try to get caught up in the chaos. So let's do a level set on what he's hearing, what he's working on as Congress is back to work after the shutdown. Representative Finstad, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, boys, thanks for having me.
Let's just take the shutdown. You know, obviously one of the major pieces out of the Senate, the House had passed the CR, but out of the Senate was these tax credits on the individual market. I know those are as important in rural communities and for farmers as they are for urban members. What's your view of what needs to be done on healthcare in the short term to make sure that, you know, policies for 2026 are affordable for families in Minnesota?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And Blois, I mean, this is one of those examples where you try to discern between the politics and the policy, because sometimes the politics does not match the need of the policy. And, you know, to hold the government hostage, the American people hostage, to say we're going to shut the government down until we get, you know, completely our way, was unreasonable, and it put us through a lot of unnecessary hurt and harm. And so as we look forward, you know, really the conversation is about the Biden era COVID extended ACA tax credits. And I want to make sure your listeners know that the original Obamacare Affordable Care Act tax credits are still in place. The conversation was about the enhanced tax credits that came into play during COVID. And that's, you know, that's the center point of this conversation. I think it's a healthy conversation to have, right? So if you go right back to the beginning of the Affordable Care Act, we, since the implementation of that, we in Southern Minnesota, we across the state, we across this country have seen over an 85% increase in our premiums. So we have not had a more affordable healthcare product. We have seen, and I have heard over and over and over again from constituents in Southern Minnesota that, yeah, you know, since that was implemented, I don't have the access I used to have. And we've seen, you know, hospitals and health organizations make changes in regards to staffing and what specialty services we have in rural Minnesota. So this has been a problem that's been years in the making. And you look at the COVID tax credits, that expanded the window of who was actually qualifying for the unaffordable or the Affordable Care Act. And really, so you got to ask yourself, was that program set up for our neighbors that really were struggling to pay for their health care? And I think most people would say, yeah, that's what we thought the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act was for. And the COVID tax era, the tax credits actually expanded that to people making families making $400,000 a year. And part of that reason that tax credit was implemented to that broader group is because people started to realize that the pool needed to be bigger to continue to try to make that that plan more affordable. And so this has been years in the making. And so as we move forward, I hope it's not simply just a political debate about we need to do these tax credits and we need to keep subsidizing it, which, by the way, a lot of times that was going to insurance companies to incentivize them to try to keep rates down. It wasn't going to you and me as consumers and users of our healthcare system. And so we really have to have a intelligent, intellectual, adult-sized conversation about the future of our healthcare in this country. And this should be about what does the next 30 years of our healthcare look like, not fighting over some of the stupid, worn-out old debates of here's what the last 30 years have looked like. If you talk to folks in our healthcare systems, the providers, they'll say it's a constant battle of dollars and tweaking the dial a percent or two to try to keep us afloat. And that's clearly not working anymore. So we have to reinvent kind of the funding mechanisms for how we, from the federal level, reimburse things like Medicare and Medicaid, how we incentivize consumers to be more involved in their healthcare, how we reward financially healthcare, not just sick care. If you go into a rural hospital right now on Medicare for a routine checkup, that rural hospital loses money on that visit. Now, if you come to them with a heart attack or cancer or hip replacement, now that hospital makes money. That's incentivizing sick care, not health care. That's the kind of conversations we have to have. And for the Democrats in the Senate to think that we were going to be able to do that with a shutdown government and do it with the seriousness and the intellect that moment is needed, it was bizarre for me to think that it was a political exercise that could be solved.
Well, it just seems to me, I mean, I've followed healthcare for a few decades now. Cost and access have been a concern since, 1980, 1985 for Americans, and we're in this place. So, and obviously Congress being as divided as it is, healthcare being as, I'll just say, hot a topic, hot potato. Not everybody wants to touch it. It would seem to me that there's some sort of bridging solution in the near term. And then this really is a debate probably during next year's election and then again in the 2028 presidential election.
Yeah, Boyce, you're right. I mean, I think if you were to kind of script this out about how do we think, how do we get through this? First of all, this CR that we're in now that expires January 30th, but how do we get through this, fiscal year? I think the debate will be really around those Biden era ramped up ACA subsidies. And really, it will be a debate around the eligibility and the income levels. And then also, the length of how long those credits go. So I think there'll be some sort of short-term bridge in that program. Again, the original ACA credits are still there. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the enhanced credits. But it's my hope that, this isn't just a, hey, we did this and look, healthcare's fixed, because it is not and it won't be. And we have to have a longer, bigger, well-thought-out conversation. I'm blessed to represent Southern Minnesota. We have great healthcare providers. Had a visit at the Mayo Clinic not too long ago where I was meeting with their innovation unit. And they were talking about the incorporating of AI and all of the data that they're able to do that they weren't able to do a year ago or 2 years ago. There's a strong future in healthcare that we haven't even really discussed at the federal level yet that we really have to get our hands around quick, because it's insane to me to talk to neighbors and to see people that I represent that are paying more for their health insurance than they are their home mortgage.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an issue, and we'll continue to talk about it. I want to pivot to ag. You're on the ag committee. You follow ag. You're a farmer. The ag economy, it was a good season, good crop, but the markets weren't there for all the crops. There seems to be some early signs that China is buying soybeans again. The market rose this past week. But talk about how in DC, give us a little peek behind the scenes when you're having conversations about the ag economy and farmers with, Make America Healthy Again, Minnesota's food economy. Talk about how you try to tell the story, A, to your colleagues in DC that represent what farmers are doing and what we need as we try to get a farm bill done.
Yeah, so I really try to break through the political noise, right? So when you look at the farm and the ag community and really just the overall health of where we are in farm country right now, there's no doubt about it that we are in some finicky times. And this just didn't happen overnight. You know, this has been years in the making. So for the last 4 years during the Biden presidency, we found ourselves as a country that we were in an ag trade deficit. So we were upside down with our ag trade. That hasn't happened, by the way, since Jimmy Carter's presidency. And so we started to see this increased staleness in our markets where we just weren't seeing the profit opportunities for corn and soybeans, for pigs, for cattle. And on top of that, it was at that perfect storm where we saw, you know, COVID, post-COVID recovery, inflation starting to climb, and our inputs just started crippling our bottom line, and all of our profit margins were erased. With that, we started to see farm country bleed cash because we were going year over year over year without that opportunity to make a go of it. And so now, as we're starting hopefully to come through that, we've seen now some new trade deals. We have the UK and the EU buying ethanol, buying soybeans. We see Japan buying soybeans. China now has agreed to more soybeans. As a farmer myself, boys, I sold my soybeans this year for more than I sold last year, and to the tune of over $1 a bushel more. Now, that sounds great, and politically, people might say, "Oh, wow, you know, it's getting better." But we can't take the eye off the prize, and that prize is we're still getting hammered on that input side. It still cost a boatload of money for me to put fertilizer down and to buy seed and to manage my soil with all these new cool equipment pieces and precision ag that we have. So those margins are still very tight, very thin. And so we have to continue to work not just on the market side to create more opportunities. And I tell my colleagues this in DC, and I hear it all the time from farmers in southern Minnesota. We do not want to farm for a government program. We want to farm for a market. I had a farmer tell me, "I want to farm for a market, not my mailbox. I don't want a check coming to my mailbox from the federal government. I want my check to come from a market that gives me opportunities." And if I've been told anything, it's like, help us on the input side. How can we get more competition in the fertilizer market so we're not just being crushed by this duopoly that we have in our fertilizer system? How can we, you know, how can we try to bring the prices down on seed and create more competition and more opportunity for us to have a better stable input side costs on that? We started to see fuel costs come down now, which I've heard has been very helpful to, you know, my farm. I've seen it, but you know, hearing it from farmers all across southern Minnesota. So I guess to your question, I try to just educate people. And you know, I'm very aware that, you know, we as farmers, we in farm country, we're less than 2% of the entire population of our country. We have now pretty much become generationally separated for people that understand what farming even is. You know, there was a day not too long ago where you would meet people all across Minnesota, all across this country, and they would say, "Oh yeah, grandma and grandpa live on a farm." Or, "Yeah, my aunt and uncle are farming. I get to go there for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And I get to sit in the tractor or see the farm." We've lost grandma and grandpa now. Aunt and uncle maybe don't farm anymore, and we don't have that connection to farm country. So we have to up our game and being advocates and educators and communicators of what does our way of life look like in farm country, and what are the real things, not the political talking points, but the real things that are affecting us, and how can we then look towards solutions to solve some of those challenges.
Well, I want to link two kind of hot button issues that you're in the center of that we've heard a lot about. First was the big, beautiful bill, or the big bill, and Medicaid cuts that don't go into effect until 2027. This past week, I was working for a client on a story, and the reporter said, "Did this happen because of the big bill and Medicaid cuts?" And I said, "No." And so I think there is just these loud voices out there that, frankly, they happen on both sides. They rile people up. They provide kind of this narrative of the other side being evil or you know, being harmful. You take the Medicaid situation. You take SNAP. You take the narrative of the shutdown and SNAP benefits being suspended. What is the solution? Like, if you were just to sit down with a piece of paper and find a balance on Medicaid benefits, SNAP benefits, without the rhetoric, what would it look like? And is that possible? Are we closer to that? And how much of that is noise, and how much of it is actual facts?
Yeah, that's great. Great question. And I've thought a lot about this. So let's just take SNAP, for instance. And I say this very often. Southern Minnesota, we have very strong, conservative, compassionate values. I don't know a neighbor, in Southern Minnesota that would not give the shirt off their back to help their neighbor in need. And if you look at SNAP, first of all, we have to get back to the congressional intent. It's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And if you were to ask again that neighbor that would give the shirt off their back for their neighbor, that's struggling, if I have a neighbor that can't put food on their for their ta on the table for their family, of course I want to help. I want to help. Do I want it to be a permanent fix and just a long-term, yeah, I guess I'm just going to provide food for your family forever? No, it should be a hand up, not a handout. We want to have incentives for people to climb the ladder of the American dream. And we've lost that view in SNAP. We have made people, because of eligibility, we've made people reliant on it long term because of the cliff to get off of SNAP. We have opened the door from a waiving work requirements that really is that powerful tool to climb that ladder out of poverty, out of the reliance on SNAP. And so we've almost made a system that says, well, SNAP, this is just the way of life, instead of that supplemental nutrition assistance program that's there for us to help our neighbor when they're down and out. And so there's ways to retool that, work requirements. We asked ourselves, if you're a Southern Minnesota everyday blue collar man or woman that's going to, packing the lunch pail and going to work every day, on your calendar, you're planning to work till you're 65 years old. That's just ingrained in who we are. But for whatever reason, the SNAP program says work requirements were done at 54 years old. That just doesn't sit right with people. If we have work requirements that are very workable work requirements, 20 hours a week, jobs count for work requirements, applying for jobs count for work requirements, volunteering counts as work requirements. Why are we saying that ends at 54? When everyday average Americans are planning on working until they're 65. What, so we've said, let's raise that to 65. That just meets the moment of where everyone is in this country. The political rhetoric doesn't allow us to just have that honest conversation. It's I'm right, you're wrong. I'm smart, you're stupid. And it just becomes toxic. But common sense should dictate and prevail in this. And so SNAP is a It is again, get back to the intent of it, being able to communicate that, yes, this is a valuable program. And we didn't even, boys, we haven't even talked about the nutrition piece of that. What is
Right.
nutrition? I mean, this is a conversation we're having in our country right now. Is it a bag of Doritos and a Pepsi? Or is it fruits and vegetables and proteins and really things that can help from a nutritional standpoint? And then you look at Medicare. And Medicaid, the same conversation can be had. Minnesota, unfortunately, has become a in the limelight from a government fraud and abuse. And if you look at Medicaid and you look at the millions of people that are on Medicaid that are getting those benefits in multiple states, I look at it a very simplistic way. If criminal A is on Medicare or Medicaid in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa, so they're triple dipping. That's two people in Minnesota that probably won't have the money to be on that program now because it was siphoned away through that fraud. And so we have to tighten these programs up. We have to get with the times. In some cases, our federal, state, and local governments are using archaic computer systems to administer these billion-dollar programs. And again, common sense has to prevail. And I'll just close on this point with this, Boyce. If you look at the autism fraud in Minnesota, how did no one catch that the program again, good intentions, wanting to help our neighbors and our families that have these, children's with children with autism. We want to help them. How did that program go from $3 million a year to $339 million a year, and no one said, "What is happening here? This is a healthcare crisis." If you look specifically at the Somali community, how did we all of a sudden have 1 in 16 Somali children with autism? And why did the governor, or why did no one in DHS in Minnesota say, "We have a health crisis," but instead it was, "Oh, this is a financial exercise. Let's just keep funding it." These are common sense things we have to start asking ourselves. Unfortunately, we don't have the unlimited ATM in our federal government. We have $38 trillion in debt. We have to have these conversations.
My guest is Congressman Brad Finstad. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I am going to talk about immigration and ask him how to balance immigration with the rhetoric that's out there. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We are back on Sunday Take, an extended conversation here with Representative Brad Finstad. Appreciate his time. Before the break, you brought up some of the fraud, some of the autism programs, this idea that, 1 in 16 Somali children having autism, is that real? Is that not real? On Friday, President Trump posted on social media that temporary status for Somalis was going to be revoked. Most Somalis in Minnesota are citizens, so it's harder to, they're not going to be impacted by the revocation. But just talk about immigration as a whole. I don't want this to be just about Somalis, because we've had plenty of communities, especially in ag country, that have had immigration drive their workforce, critical for the ag economy. And this is one of those places where President Trump ran on it. The rhetoric on the right is strong, but we do have a growth problem in our country and in our state for a workforce. Is there a solution, or is that still a few years off?
No, I think we're getting closer and closer to that solution, Blois. And again, you know, we have to lean into our common sense, and it becomes a math problem. I mean, we have a lot of jobs that go unfilled right now. And because of that, we have seen a lack of productivity in certain sectors where I'll give you an example. I've visited multiple manufacturers in southern Minnesota, and I've heard this story over and over again where they'll tell me, we have more sales than we have employees to build our products to provide to that market. We have opportunity to make more money and to expand our business, but we have to say no to those new opportunities, or we have to say no to expanding our facilities because we just don't have enough people to do those jobs. And so we clearly have a problem. I will start with this. We had an absolute disaster border crisis in the last administration. And I think that's widely known. And I would say most normal common sense people would accept that to be reality. No border, illegal immigration, in a lot of cases, bringing fentanyl, drugs, sex trafficking, human trafficking. I mean, we had to get a handle on our border. Now, I think by and large, that has been solved. But I also would say that, you know, if you talk to the average American, they would say we have an immigration process crisis in this country. No one understands what it takes to become a citizen in this country. If you're a company that wants to look at the TN visa, the H-2A, the H-2B visa, good luck explaining that to your aunt and uncle at the Thanksgiving table. Our immigration policy is so broke in this country that we as citizens can't even explain it to our friends, our family, or our kids who are trying to teach, you know, give them lessons on what it means to be an American and what it means to live the American dream. We can't even tell them what the immigration policy and process looks like. So we have an opportunity. I do think we have a real strong opportunity right now to enter into this next phase of immigration policy debate. And I say, let's just be common sense and let math dictate and change the verbiage and the terms and how we look at things. So I'll use ag as an example. Let's get out of this whole temporary TN visa, H-2A, H-2B. You need a stable full of lawyers right now if you're in ag or business to try to navigate the ag visa program. Why don't we create a new ag visa, ag workforce visa program that's easy to understand? I can explain it to Aunt Ethel at the Thanksgiving table. I can explain it to my kids. The agribusiness industry, the farmers, the dairy farmers, the pork producers, you name it, the roofers, the hospitality, something we can explain and it's easy to navigate. And then let's just put check marks marks along that system. So maybe every 6 months you have to come back and say, yes, I'm still fully employed. Yes, I have not committed any crimes. Yes, I am part of living this American dream. Great. Carry on. Do it again for another 6 months and we'll continue this process of filling that workforce shortage need that we have in this country and doing it in a legal, sane, common sense way.
When you think about, I think one of the things that I noticed as I've traveled Minnesota, including southern Minnesota, is just the way in which immigrants work and are welcomed in communities differently. You take Worthington, you take some of those places. It's not to say there's not tension, but overall, they have added to the economy. They have created things. And that immigration, I said this the last couple of years, especially during last year, was immigration in Minnesota is viewed differently depending on where you live in Minnesota, because you take Wilmer, you take Worthington, you take Rochester, and it's viewed differently than I think the way in which greater Minnesota views immigration in the cities. Can you give a little more color to how the ag economy or how the healthcare economy of Rochester would not survive without immigration?
Yeah, so there's no doubt about it. I mean, agribusiness, healthcare, manufacturing, you name it. I mean, immigration has been a huge part of our growing success. You know, we don't have the opportunity to say that we are a healthcare leader in the world right here in southern Minnesota. We don't have the opportunity to say that we are in southern Minnesota. We have more pigs than people. We have a strong swine industry that has provided tons of economic opportunity. If we don't embrace immigration as a part of our future growth in those industries. And Blois, to your point, I mean, I'll tell you, I have seen it firsthand where communities have embraced new Minnesotans, where we have seen, you know, different families and communities and churches get together to really, you know, welcome people to our backyard. Now, I will tell you, here's, I think, the secret sauce to that is it takes two to tango. So when you bring a new family into any town, there's a certain responsibility that family has also, right? You know, they're here to be a part of our economy, to be a part of our community, to live out the American dream. That's something that can unite us and get us excited about being neighbors. Now, if you come in, you know, like we've saw in the last years, if you come in to try to sell drugs to our kids or to traffic sex or drugs or you name it, we're not going to accept that. That should not be accepted. And I think that's where some of the tension comes. Like, let's get out of the shadows with this, right? Let's get back to, you know, dignity with each other and respecting each other and embracing each other. And that takes two to tango. And we've seen communities that have thrived in that are doing that. And Worthington's a great example. Rochester, we can go, St. James, go down the list. There's a lot of great communities that have seen growth and really been able to maintain strong economic vitality because of that opportunity that immigration and, you know, new immigrant workforce has provided.
We're running a little short on time here. So just quickly, what's on Congress's agenda here before the end of the year?
So we're going to, you know, continue to plug away with the appropriations process. We have 9 bills to approve yet before January 30th. We have the remaining 15% of the farm bill in front of us that we need to get pushed on here. We have the National Defense Act and we have the Highway Fund. So that's really big issues. But I think people understood that shutdown created a mess, and we're going to have to work overtime to get these things done.
Well, I appreciate you joining me this morning, and all my best. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Blaise.
Welcome back. You know, I just want to call it out that Representative Finstad sits down, he answers the questions. You may not agree with him, but it's that thoughtful dialogue and discussion and knowledge of his district that I think gives him a different kind of approach that we don't often see on cable news. We don't often see on X or on social. And I just want to call it out. This week's take is about the University of Minnesota. I am in meeting her a couple times and seeing and hearing her vision for the University of Minnesota, I've become a Rebecca Cunningham fan. But I think when she took the job, she didn't recognize that the leaders before her had not served her coming into the job particularly well. They had let relationships at the legislature go. They had not had a clear vision for the future of this higher education institute that is so important to the state of Minnesota. And I would just urge all the parties in the healthcare battle, of which I do not have a client or an interest, to step back and listen to a doctor from a state like Michigan and the University of Michigan, where I'm sure everything wasn't always pretty, but it was clearer and concise and more unified. And it's not just about healthcare for the University of Minnesota. President Cunningham deserves to outline the future of this university in a way that the legislature, the governor, and others can rally behind. I've always said that there's two kinds of politics that I try to avoid. They are higher ed politics and they are church politics, because they are nastier than any politics of the electoral sense. It's clear that higher ed politics are filled with sharp elbows, big egos, and experts. I mean, just ask a PhD what the solution is, and they'll have all the answers. But we chose Rebecca Cunningham to be the leader of the university for a reason, and we should let her lead. And that means taking some of the politics out, having some of the politicians step aside, letting her lay out a plan, and then deciding whether or not that's the best plan for Minnesota's future. That's this week's take. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Wednesday. We'll publish Monday through Wednesday at thedailyagenda.com. You can always find all of our posts, our tip sheets, and all of our podcasts there. Until next week, have a happy Thanksgiving. That's the Sunday Take.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.